At the end of every year, Google releases its Year in Review video. This year's been a tough one for most Americans and people worldwide, but Google has been here to help. This year, we saw 10,000 searches for the word white male. Google had the privilege of autocorrecting white male to Nazi.
This year, Google had the privilege of autocorrecting cheap COVID medicine to where can I get animal medicine?
And so many of you search for images of white families. And we were able to change 10 million search results of white families into black families and families of color.
And scene, ladies and gentlemen. That was fantastic. I think Google should hire us to make their year in review video.
They really should.
They really should.
This year, you search for, why are illegal immigrants stealing my bike? And we auto-corrected to,
what illegal immigrants?
Undocumented migrants have it really tough here.
Why is everything 10% more expensive? Yeah, you corrected it to why you should lower your expectations by 10%.
You search for Daryl Brooks, and we auto-corrected it to SUV accidentally running through a crowd. You can do this all day.
Yeah.
You can do it all day.
Yeah, we really could. That could be its own little comedy skit, and maybe we will make our own Google Year in Review video for you guys to watch, because today we are going to react to Google's Year in Review video that they put out for 2021, but we're going to get there. We're also going to touch on stories of Jordan Peterson predicting exactly what's happened this year in the States and in the world on Joe Rogan's podcast, some interesting commentary from Glenn Lowry on immigrants versus native-born Americans, are rocket scientists and brain surgeons smart than normal people? We'll answer that as well. We're also going to be reacting to an old 5-minute video done with PragerU. So stick around for all these stories. Whichever one is most special to you, we will get to at some point. We're going to start off with this first video, and this is Jordan Peterson on Joe Rogan predicting exactly what has happened and what has taken place here in America and worldwide. Here it is.
I just don't understand how it gets to the point where
things get to terrible places one tiny step at a time. You know, if I encroach on you, and I'm sophisticated about it, I'm going to encroach 2 millimeters. I'm going to encroach right to the point where you start to protest. Then I'm going to stop. Then I'm going to wait. Then you're going to calm down. Then I'm going to encroach again, right to the point where you protest. Then I'm going to stop. Then I'm going to wait. And I'm just going to do that forever. And before you know it, you're going to be back 3 miles from where you started, and you'll have done it one step at a time. And then you'll go, oh, how'd I get here? And the answer was, well, I pushed you a little farther than you should have gone, and you agreed. And so then I pushed you a little farther than you should have gone again, and you agreed. And if anybody's interested in this sort of process, and this is a horrifying book, if you want to read about how this process works, you can read a book called Ordinary Men by Robert Browning.
I just don't understand.
So there's the video, and it touches on sort of this human condition phenomenon that we talked about when Zuby Music was on the show with us, and we did, you know, an hour-long interview with him, which you guys can go check out in our previous episodes. But we talked about something called the complacency ladder, and it's a tool that people in power and people in the hierarchy use against the people who are below them. And it's starting off by making a somewhat small, seemingly menial task or menial ask of a group of people, and they go, okay, well, given the current situation or the current crisis, as we would call it today, sure, I will go along with that. And they push it for as long as they possibly can. And then when people get upset and start to protest, they take back a little bit. But then when they rejoin that complacency ladder, we're no longer on step one, we're on step two. So it's not one mask anymore, it's double masking. And it's not, going out of your house just to get groceries. It's don't go out of your house at all. It's constantly growing.
Right. So that's why when there are sometimes some winds or you move to somewhere like Florida or you feel like you have some freedom, that doesn't mean to be complacent whatsoever. That means that you have to continue to fight so things can continue to get better. You know, just because they stopped for a millisecond and gave you some breathing room because they saw people were getting upset does not mean that this is now the time to stop your advancement.
Right.
Right. It's like, I mean, if any of you guys have brothers and sisters, you know, when you're a little kid and you like continually like flick them in the ear or something and you do it over and over again until they yell at you. And then once they yell at you, you calm down and then you start flicking them again in the same spot. And it's like every time you can continue to see, you can push your limits, see how much you can get away with.
Yep.
Until I punch you in the face.
Right. I mean, I'll give a more extreme example of that. The relationship that we're currently in with our government right now is the relationship you would be in if you were with somebody who's a domestic abuser. They hit you, you cry, they apologize, they back down, they're super nice to you for a few weeks, and the next time they hit you, it's worse, and the next time they hit you, it's worse, and the next time they hit you, it's worse. And this is why so often in these cases, you meet women and males who are in these relationships, and they're told, you know, but she was so nice 2 weeks ago, or he just bought me flowers, and that's what the government does to you. They slap you across the face, you cry and scream and protest, and they buy you flowers, and you go, oh my gosh, the government's so nice.
I'll forgive your student loan debt. It'll be great.
Yep. And then you have the people who are us. We're the police officers in this case. We come along and we're like, you need to get out of this relationship. You need to stand up to them, or you just need to, you know, step away and say you're not going to comply with this anymore, or you're going to get killed. And then you get killed.
Excuse me. That's why I'm not worried about people. You know, people like to get upset when someone embellishes something or is exaggeratory or says, like, this is the worst case scenario, something that could happen. And people want to say, well, you're just fear mongering. You're just putting out the worst possible case. And it's like, well, you realize why people do that. You know, some people just do it for clout and because they want people to follow them. I get that. But a lot of people who are saying, like, this is the worst case scenario, this is what could happen, and then people say they're overreacting, is because they want to showcase what could happen when you give them an inch.
Yep.
Right? Every time you give them an inch, they will eventually take that mile. You have to be prepared for the worst, because if the worst happens, you need to be ready for it.
Mm-hmm. You really do. And so often we get told that we're being hyperbolic or we're exaggerating by making comparisons to different totalitarian regimes or instances of tyranny and people being disarmed and all this crazy stuff that's happened historically. And in no way is that hyperbolic, because we can go back and look at history. And this is why we value history, because we can look at the worst human atrocities that have ever occurred and go, okay, we saw this occur in this year. Let's go back a couple of years and see what was happening in that society at the time, and then back a couple of years sooner and see what was happening then. And we recognize what are patterns of behavior, patterns of policy, patterns of societal disarray that lead to these human atrocities on a mass scale. And we go, hey, guys, we're starting to look a lot like Rome in this year. We're starting to look a lot like China in this year. We're starting to look a lot like North Korea here. To warn of what is to come.
I know, it's like you had economists back in the, you know, the 1990s and the 2000s who were talking about, you know, that the U.S. dollar is going to lose its place in the world, you know, that it's going to decrease in value. And people said, no, the U.S. dollar, it's not going to fail. It's great. Over since 2000 up until now, 2021, the U.S. dollar has lost 60% of its value, right? And that's only, I'll tell you also, 10% of that has been in these last 11 months. Make your connection there. But it's like people will come and say these things and then get labeled as crazy, even though they're saying something that they believe to be true. And people will try and label them as crazy so that you don't take them seriously, so that they can institute their plan.
Yep.
And listen to crazy people, or at least the people who they say are crazy. I get called crazy.
We all do. All of us. We all get called crazy.
I'm crazy about freedom. That's what I am. Let me tell you.
Wow. What a red meat slogan that was.
I'm crazy about
freedom,
brother.
People call me crazy, but the only thing I'm crazy about is freedom, brother.
Freedom and beer.
But no, this is a prime instance of somebody going and issuing a warning and it coming to fruition. This is what happened with Jordan Peterson on Joe Rogan. And here we are talking about how it's happened. So be wary of calling people hyperbolic or saying that they're exaggerating or fear mongering, because there are plenty of instances where they're absolutely correct.
Yeah, people are walking through the world with horse blinders on, right? You can see what's right in front of you, but the things that are happening on the menial, like in the sides, like, you're not paying attention to those things. And once you stop paying attention to that and you're only obsessed with looking at what is right in front of you, then some person who's a horse murderer comes and slashes your horse throat from the side.
But people talk about, too, that how conservatives are always kind of at a disadvantage, because it usually is not until someone has encroached upon the norms and the substructure of your society too far that you even start to form a reaction and start to be able to articulate why we shouldn't have crossed these lines and start to try to start undoing the work that they've done. But by then, like Jordan Peterson saying, you've already given up too much ground over and over again. And that's why I think, and we've talked about before, like, well, you've said it, conservatives need a vision for America. They need a vision that's to where it's like, here are the things that we're trying to
promote and preserve, and we're being clear about what those are instead in holding those out and holding those values forth in the time that we're in, because the people who are taking these little bit by bit, it's because they have an aggressive agenda to undo the Western civilization, our norms, America as it's been known for forever, and they have an ideological vision of this utopian thing that coincides with the totalitarianism that we've seen through the centuries, as Amo was saying before.
Yep. Right.
This is the last chapter of my book, A Vision for America. I wrote about it. Conservatives need to be the ones pushing those inches. Conservatives need to be the ones that are pushing forward to get our plans across, to make America a better place, to do all this for the betterment of the world.
Mm.
Leftism is destroying the world. That is not hyperbolic, you know? And people will say, oh, you're being hyperbolic. That's true. Leftism is destroying the world, okay? Leftism killed 100 million people. The values that leftism espouses makes people worse. To say that leftism isn't destroying the world, it truly is. It is an evil ideology. And so I will not be, you know, cowed into not saying that. We conservatives need to be the ones to push back against this and put their vision forward with real, strong conservatives who actually support and actually value the things that they're talking about. Not just people who say the values, but things they actually believe in.
Yeah, and just so often in this life, we're so reactionary in just all sense of the world, not just in a political aspect, in the aspect of learning, in the aspect of health. We are so reactionary. We wait for things to happen that require response instead of being proactive and building a strong foundation of good values and integrity and accountability. Instead, we build this faulty foundation. And then when it starts to crack, we go, okay, well, we need to quick, like, be able to patch these holes. We need to go. If we just built a strong foundation of these values in the first place, it would not have been.
I mean, if you just saw what happened last week with this $2.5 trillion, who let that happen?
Are you asking me?
Sure.
What are you talking about in terms of $2.5 trillion?
There's so much going on there.
Okay, the infrastructure bill. Why did that happen? Why did $2.5 trillion get put down to raise the debt ceiling? Because of weak clowns who basically said, we are going to side with the people who hate us. That is why this happened. You were on, these people were on life support. This was not going to happen. And then our side, for some reason, said, oh, we're going to go and do this. And we are going to give these people their lifeboat. It's like, you could have had a chance to absolutely get our plans and get the things that we want across. And you said no. You said no.
Yeah.
You are ruining America.
There's been plenty of those opportunities. There's been plenty of those opportunities. And it's just like, it's such a tough line to walk with how divisive everything is right now. I don't even know what the future looks like. But again, yeah, I think in the short term, not good.
I think, I don't agree. I think things will get better. I think that there's so
many
people
fed up. In the short
term,
no, they won't. But long term, I think absolutely they will get better. It has to swing.
There are so many people in America now who are seeing what's happening and are just displeased and more like despise what is happening. So I think there will be, I think that the next elections will be a big wake-up call for a lot of people.
Oh, I agree with that 100%.
It's going to be like 2010.
You're seeing like a lot of
the first 2 years in Obama.
You're seeing like a lot of young buck sort of new agey conservatives jump in and start running. So I think, yeah, I definitely think that will shift. As far as wokeism dying out anytime soon, who knows?
Yeah. It'll never die out. Wokeism can never die.
Well, I mean, to the extent that it's at right now.
Will's just eating a piece of chocolate casually.
Yeah, a large
Christmas.
Piece of chocolate, by the way.
It's Christmas. I can have some sweets if I want to.
It is Christmas week.
It's Christmas week. You know what I mean? It's almost Christmas.
One of the people who's been coming to bat at wokeism and really calling it out and saying, you know what, I'm not going to subscribe to these lies. In fact, I'm going to debunk these lies, is John McWhorter. Now, he was recently on Glenn Lowry's show to talk about the idea of structural racism, systemic racism, particularly towards native-born Black Americans, a narrative that persists in America despite consistent evidence to the contrary. So here's Glenn Lowry and John McWhorter discussing the difference between non-white immigrants who come to America and native-born Black Americans.
It's said to be a microaggression to observe that this is the place that people want to actually come. America is supposed to be so racist. How come so many people from non-white ports of origin are risking everything to get here? America's supposed to have no opportunity, according to the Ta-Nehisi Coates of the world. The American dream is a fraud. Then how come so many people are seeing their lives made so much better and the lives of their children made so much better by being able to participate in this society? And again, the arrow points backwards. How come black people are not themselves seizing these opportunities? Very difficult question. A lot that can be said about it. But white supremacy, that's a childish, foolish, intellectually infantile, but politically convenient response to the question, why are black people not availing ourselves of the same opportunities that people from every quarter of this world who are not Europeans seem to be able to make the best of?
I mean, a brilliant question to be asking, and it's so evident. It's self-evident. It's right in front of your face. You can look at the stats and the rates of success when you look at non-white immigrants that come to America versus native-born black Americans, native-born people of color here in America. And it's not the same. It's not congruent. The rates of success are far higher from people who come from immigrant groups, people of color that come from immigrant groups. I know this personally. I was born of a Nigerian immigrant. My father's a Nigerian immigrant. He came to America as a naturalized citizen. And he is a member of one of the most successful immigrant groups in this country. Yet the narrative persists that because he is a black man who would be perceived by police officers, by courts and judges alike as a normal black American, that somehow there is some systemic racism that is holding him back.
If you want to see what people think, watch their feet. If you watch their feet and you see where they go, you will see what people think about any sort of situation. You are seeing it in California, where people are leaving California. You're seeing it in New York. People do not like the policies there. When you see people move to America and they're immigrating here by the hundreds of thousands, you'll see why they do that. I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah.
People move. You can, everything you want to know, you can see how people move.
Yeah, it's so abundantly clear. I mean, for a country that we've been told for years now, but the entirety of this year is founded in white supremacy, is structurally racist, our institutions and systems are pitted against people of color. We have had the highest, most unprecedented rate of illegal immigration into this country to date. 1.6 million people, according to the Border Patrol, have come into America. They've had that many encounters, 1.6 million encounters with illegal immigrants this year alone. And yet we are a systemically racist country that nobody wants to be, but people of color, especially from Haiti, are coming at unprecedented rates into the United States. Why is that? Why is that? Can anybody explain? Because America is a land of opportunity, not just for white people, but for people of color. And we are one of the freest, greatest countries to be in that offers the most instances of success for these people who come from countries that don't have that. And that's why they come here at the rates that they're coming here.
They're coming because they're not watching the mainstream media in the United States.
Right.
And they're not hearing the narrative that America's systemically racist. And they have common sense enough to know that it's all lies. It is not true. And they have common sense enough to know that America is the land of opportunity. It is the greatest country in the world. It is the best place that they can go to improve their lot. And their race, they know that their race is not going to be a barrier for them by coming here. And they're, like Will said, they are voting with their feet. They're moving, putting themselves at great risk, great hardship, leaving everything. Then, frankly, that is the American thing to do. So,
well, it's not the American thing to do to come here illegally.
Not illegally, but I mean, you know.
Yeah,
I mean.
You know.
Many of these people feel like they can get advantages by actually being a legal status in this country.
Yeah, and you try to get on welfare and all that type of stuff.
Of course,
because they
terrible.
Can.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah. That's the fault of our policies and incentives.
It is, yeah, and that's it goes beyond, that's the sort of a discussion that goes beyond the core principle of why people want to come here.
Yeah.
And even those that don't come here, look at the protests in Venezuela, the protests in Cuba, the protests in South Africa over their regimes and what's happening in their countries. Hong Kong, what are they carrying? What are they holding up? American flags. What are they shouting? Liberty, freedom, pursuit of happiness, life. They are shouting out the tenets that our country was created on, because we are really the beacon of freedom in the free world, and that's what we shine on other people in countries that don't have the same rights and privileges that we have. And we are, like Will said on yesterday's show, the last best hope.
Yeah, that's a great point, Amala. I didn't think about that. That's really good.
Yeah, I mean,
it's true.
I thought you meant like repeating your point from
No. I meant the point about the people, because that's something that I remember when it happened. It was amazing to see.
Yeah.
When these protesters are out holding American flags, but I had forgotten about it.
Yeah. It's just
perfectly
like,
said.
Yeah, even people who, you know, can't get here or don't want to come here illegally and are trying to get through here through legal status are shouting about America and our policies. And yeah, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're here or you're not. And
this is why it's so backwards that our so-called progressives deem it progressive to hate America.
Yep.
Like that is what is that what they consider as progress. And this doesn't make you progressive. It makes you destructive of everything that's good and worth preserving.
It doesn't. It reminds me distinctly of a story that we did on this show while people in Cuba were out protesting what was happening in their country, carrying American flags. Black Lives Matter, a radical organization that has contributed to domestic terrorism here in the United States, posted that the blame that should be placed for the Cuban protests was on America. The blame for what they were dealing with in Cuba under their regime should be placed on us because of the embargo. Yeah. While they're out there carrying American flags. It's just amazing.
I remember I made a meme on my Instagram, that meme template where there's the guy saying trade offer. Mm-hmm. And on one side I had like, I receive the immigrants waving, or the people who are being oppressed waving the American flag, and you right. receive the American woke Antifa people who are burning the American flag.
Brilliant trade.
We'll make that trade any day.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I would. So, yeah, honestly, if anybody can answer why people of color are storming here to the tune of millions while people in this country complain about how racist it is, please put it down in the comments below. Honestly, we'll have you on the show if you have a truly defensible argument. Next, are rocket scientists and brain surgeons smarter than the rest of us? What do you think, Will?
Well, I think in a way, definitely.
Okay, Taylor.
Like they have a technical skill and ability that's far surpasses anything I've done in that sense. Of
okay.
course.
What about you, Taylor?
Well, I'm no rocket scientist, but my answer to this question is, yeah, they're smarter.
Okay.
Smarter in turn. I mean, it's objectively, IQ is a thing; it exists.
Okay.
And only people who are of high IQs. I mean, traditionally, now we don't. We reverse the system to let anybody in, but you require high IQ to be able to survive in those fields or to be able mm-hmm. to make it. And if you want someone who's objectively smarter building your rocket so they don't explode, like, of course, they need to be filtered out, and only your best and brightest should be building that type
of
stuff.
Well, let's talk about this new study and see where we lie in regard to their findings. This new study suggests that aerospace engineers and brain surgeons are not necessarily brighter than anybody in the general population. Apparently, what they did is these researchers gathered together 329 aerospace engineers, 72 neuroscientists, and compared them to the intellects of people in the UK, mainland Europe, US, and Canada. 18,257 members of the British public in particular, and gave them what is called a Great British Intelligence Test from a cognition platform. And they found truly no massive or truly distinct differences in intellect between aerospace scientists, neurosurgeons, and normal people.
Great British Intelligence Test?
Yes.
How many Beatles songs can you name in 30 seconds?
Let's get a little deeper. The tasks that they examined examined aspects of cognition spanning planning and reasoning, working memory, attention, and emotional processing. And I'll scroll down here.
I'm just waiting for the equity score being factored in.
Yeah.
Luckily, there was no really? Such test.
I believe this. I believe it.
Very little. I mean, with the scope of who they've tested, this is what nearly 19,000 people were part of this study, which is a massive sample size for a scientific study. Well,
people can do amazing things with hard work mm-hmm. and tenacity. You can mm-hmm. become a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon, even if you don't have a genius IQ, because you worked really hard and you practiced at it and you read all the books. And, you know, there are some things that do have a barrier to entry.
Yeah,
of course. But it seems like something like this with an incredibly technical skill of also memorization on things, like you can train yourself to be like that. Like I know that like Nikola Tesla, like his mom when he was a young boy, trained him in memorization.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like an expert memorizer, but it was because his mom trained him to do it.
Right.
Right. And so he could do all these like amazing things and memorize like entire epic poems from Greece. And it's because he was trained to do it. If people put in the hard work, they can do it, which is something that is different than intelligence.
Right. What this study points out is basically that the general population has the cognition to go and pursue these tasks and become neurosurgeons and aerospace scientists. A lot of people just choose not to. There were a few differences, I guess, that they found that comparing their results to the general population, aerospace engineers did not show significant differences in any areas, but neurosurgeons were able to solve problems faster than the general population, but showed slower memory recall. It's really interesting. It's actually something we don't
We can't all be rocket scientists. I mean, we need fry cooks too.
And it's funny because that's what spanned this study is the phrase, you know, it's not rocket science or we can't all be rocket scientists.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
So interesting.
We can't all be political commentators.
No, we can't. There's a very small pool and luckily we're in the pool. But mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're the ones who couldn't become rocket scientists
right,
and brain
exactly.
surgeons, so we became political.
You know, Will gave it a try twice in college. I gave it a try once and I thought, you know what?
Not
can't do rocket
it.
Science.
Not worth
I'm going to TikTok instead.
But yeah, I'm going to go to TikTok instead. I'm going to go to the CCP app instead, and I think I'll have better luck there. And it turns out I did. Mm-hmm. So it was a good choice.
Joke's you on know? You.
It's not rocket science. but no, I think it's an enlightening, motivating thing to read that, you know, these people that you view as just structurally better than you are when it comes to cognition and brain function are really not. They're really just normal people who made a choice and pursued it.
I feel like that would make some people feel worse about it, to be honest.
Why? Like to know that they could have done it all along?
Yeah, to know they could have done it. And it's not because they're smarter than you, which is something that is in some ways out of your control, even though you can become more smart, more have a higher IQ. But, you know, that just
you can become more smarter if you really try.
I'm trying right now, as you can tell.
More but smarter.
Like, you know, like that just means like, oh, you are a lazy sack of garbage.
And you
didn't do it when you had every capability to do it. It like almost makes you feel worse about
wow.
it.
Wow. So you'd rather be like, oh no, these people are just genetically smarter than I am.
Yeah. I'd rather look at like a bodybuilder and be like, oh, like,
he's just genetically.
I can't do that. You know, he's just too big. He's too strong. I can't, my body isn't meant for that.
Light the
Whereas,
fire.
Like instead of looking at the bodybuilder and being like, oh, actually, I could do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a.
Yeah, there's accountability that comes with that.
Yeah, exactly. And people don't want
to
depend
on yourself.
That's
you have
saying,
to face the facts that I am where I am because of my choices and because of my effort.
You need a reality check.
Yeah. And I think that's healthy. And this study does shine a light on that. I mean, I think it's true that you know, we know intelligence is a thing, but we also know that it is malleable to a degree that you can, with, like you said, hard work and stuff, like improve your lot and even improve your intelligence. But even if I have a lower IQ than someone else who's in studying medicine or whatever, I can work really hard at it and end up being in the same position. And that is a great thing.
Man, I always bring up this book.
Even if you're white.
Even if you're white.
Even if you're white.
Four kids are just as good as the white kids, as a one man would say. I always bring up the book Discrimination and Disparities because it goes over so many important details. Oh, it is right behind me. There it is, Discrimination and Disparities by Tom Sowell. Read it. In the first chapter, he goes over this study that was done on a pool of men that displayed extremely high IQ. And even with the same IQ score and the same basic intelligence, they landed by the end of their lives in vastly different areas. We had like two of them, I believe, who were nominated for Nobel Peace Prizes. Some of them never even graduated high school. Some of them didn't graduate college, but all represented the same intelligence level. And there's so much that needs to happen in your life for you to access it, for you to be driven for it. There's so many prerequisites to success that so many people don't get the privilege of having, like, say, two parents or two parents that read to you is an extra prerequisite and it sets you up for success. Mm-hmm. There's so many different things that in your life can change the path that you take.
Dennis Prager says he cares much more about wisdom than intelligence. They're mm-hmm. two different things. Mm-hmm. You know, people try and equate them as the same. Like, because you're a rocket scientist, you have wisdom.
Right.
Which is just not true.
No. Nope.
They're two separate things, and I think that's an important distinction.
Yeah, you meet people all the time who you think are going to be just, like, absolutely brilliant and wise because they do something that is, you know, at base level, at superficially amazing. Mm. And then you meet them, and they're like, the worst.
Yeah, I mean, it's why like our whole elite class, they are probably objectively people that are high in intelligence, but the way that they apply their intelligence is to a framework and view of the world that is mm-hmm. really dumb and really useless and that lacks wisdom, to Will's point. So you're like a train with a really powerful engine, but you're on a track that's taking you
right,
to a bad place. Yeah. And so the faster you go, the further away you get from reality. And I think that's a big problem that we have with our intellectual class right now.
Right. And now we're going to revisit, you know, the idea of paths and what path you take in your life and in your work. And we're going to look at an old PragerU video, one of our most popular videos from 2016 with Mike Rowe, called Don't Follow Your Passion, which is something that you don't typically hear when it comes to what you should pursue. Let's get into this video.
There are only two things I can tell you today that come with absolutely no agenda. The first is congratulations. The second is good luck. Everything else is what I like to call the dirty truth, which is just another way of saying it's my opinion. And in my opinion, you have all been given some terrible advice. And that advice is this: follow your passion. Every time I watch the Oscars, I cringe when some famous movie star, trophy in hand, starts to deconstruct the secret of their success. It's always the same thing. Don't let anyone tell you that you don't have what it takes, kid. And the ever popular, never give up on your dreams. Look, I understand the importance of persistence and the value of encouragement, but who tells a stranger to never give up on their dreams without even knowing what it is they're dreaming? I mean, how can Lady Gaga possibly know where your passion will lead you? Have these people never seen American Idol? Year after year, thousands of aspiring American Idols show up with great expectations, only to learn that they don't possess the skills they thought they did. What's really amazing, though, is not their lack of talent. The world's full of people who can't sing. It's their genuine shock at being rejected. The incredible realization that their passion and their ability had nothing to do with each other.
Oof, have you ever met somebody like this? Where they like have these like delusions of grandeur that they're going to be like something amazing, and then you see what they're actually doing and you're like, oh, this is not good.
Their ambition overreaches their skills.
Yeah. Have you met somebody like that? I'm sure.
Of course.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
I call it a lack of self-awareness.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
Yeah, but if you're constantly reinforced by people who affirm you, is that a lack of self-awareness, or is there blame to be placed on the people who told you that you were great?
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know?
Well, again, he was talking about in the video that it's like
right.
People who you don't know. I mean, if you are telling someone who sucks at singing that they're a good singer,
yeah,
even though they're not, you're a bad friend.
Yeah. I think like...
You tell them the dirty truth.
You need to tell them the dirty truth.
Tell them the dirty
truth. Anyways, don't say it like that. Well, I think LA is such a prime example. It's like a petri dish for this type of thinking.
Oh my goodness. There's this lady who lives a couple doors down from me, and I will hear her. It's past quiet hours, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
And she will be singing these horrible songs as loud as she can. And I'm sure she thinks she's so good.
Mm-hmm.
She sounds like a dying raven. She is terrible.
That's sad.
And I have to listen to it.
Yeah. I like when you go to bars and restaurants out here in LA and you meet your servers, you can literally walk any bar, any restaurant. I don't care where you go. This is my scientific experiment. Sit down, have the server come up to you, go actress or musician. And then they'll tell you they're either an actress or a musician. Actress or musician. You can do it every single time without fail. And occasionally you'll get the person who says, oh, I'm an artist. And every single person in LA, it's like statistically, what are the odds that you are going to, you know, cut through what is happening and become that?
But LA needs bartenders. I am fine with all these people who have no talent coming to my city because I need someone to wait.
All the restaurants need an extra person now to check vax cards anyway.
Exactly. So it makes sense.
Gosh. You know? It's just sad that though people have like sold themselves on I'm going to be this, and it's not something that they pursue in their downtime really, other than, you know, when they become servers and things. But I'll meet people who are like 40 years old. They're 40-year-old guys serving at a restaurant. I'm like, actor, musician, actor. I'm a musician. I'm doing this. I'm like, dude, you're 40. The odds now. Okay, so let's do the probability of like you being 20, freshly moving to LA, becoming an actor or musician, and not becoming famous, but doing it enough to make a living off of it. Okay, statistically far higher than somebody who's 40. That's scary.
Yeah, unless they need like washed up old man roles.
Right, or like a young, nice dad.
See, that's what they tell themselves, and that's what keeps them in the restaurant.
Right, they're like, now that I'm 5 years older, now I qualify for these roles. And now that I'm 5 years older, I qualify for these roles.
Yeah, finally, I'm an extra on this Hallmark movie. It's my big break.
I mean, now out. It's like, you know, not everybody becomes famous, but some people can make a living off of acting still. But it's like there's so many people who don't make a living off of it living here in LA who just continuously, without fail, like never give it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah. Chasing the dream.
Which it's in part admirable. Another part not.
Well, it's tough because it's like, who am I to say that you should stop? But at yes. the same time, it's very clear some people that you meet that they're just detached from reality mm-hmm. and completely lack self-awareness.
Right.
And they're, I don't know, this is where it's like just not understanding the world and understanding yeah. just how people are, how things work. It just can keep you in a place where you're just wasting away.
Yeah.
And it's really a tragedy.
Yeah.
You have people coming up to you and talking to you about, like, they'll tell you like, oh, I'm writing this script. And then they start talking to you about it. And you're like, this is one of the most horrible things I've ever heard in my life.
I know.
It's
this
rough.
Is why you are washing my car windows.
Oh, jeez. That sounds horrible.
It's sad, but I literally, like, I've been in LA 5 years and I know I can probably count on two hands a number of people I know personally who fit this exact description. And yeah. and I know like one or two who like have made it.
Yep.
Since like, you know, in the sense that they're getting cast in commercials regularly and like yep. are, you know, have a legitimate career, but
the ratio is just way off to the not making it part. And it, you know, I'm like you, Taylor. I'm like, by any means, like, you do your thing. Like, if that's your passion, you want to pursue it, and there's no way I'm going to tell you not to do that or like, you know.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, if they're your kid, what do you tell them?
You tell them no.
If they're my kid. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean,
this is my dream.
No, if
well,
they're my
you
kid,
you are not good at this.
I know. At some point, that is the loving thing to say.
If
or, you know, and not so many words, but
you never lie about somebody's ability. If they're your kid and they're not good at doing something, you by all means tell them. I in so many words, in the best way possible to communicate it, that they're not good at it. But if they go, okay, I'm still gonna pursue it. By all means, that's your choice. This is your life. If you want to make something that I would consider a mistake, but you don't consider a mistake and you want to go out and do it, by all means, if you're my kid, go out and do it.
Just don't call me for money.
Well, depends on how where I'm at.
To me, it's a signal that like before you ever get to the point where you are in this vicious, endless cycle of being stuck in being detached from reality, something happened or something happened in your upbringing or some sort of trauma or something that like brought you to a place where you're willing to occupy that reality. You know what I mean? I think so if we're talking about like if it were my kid, well hopefully my kid would never get to the place where they're not able to recognize their prospects and like rationally look at themselves and what's going on you know, in their situation.
You would hope your kid would recognize their inability to do something.
I mean
not...
this is like the same thing that kind of goes with the transgender stuff. Because it's like parents will not tell their kids, oh, you can't do this.
Yep.
And then they'll get brainwashed into thinking that, oh, I can change my gender.
Right, right.
Oh, I can go and be a world famous actor, but you don't know how to act.
Yeah,
it's like
this
the same thing.
This whole you can do and be anything narrative. It's like, no, not really. You can't do or be anything because there's a certain amount of people who have to do or be this, and there's a certain amount of people that have to do or be this. So you have some statistical odds when it comes to the things that you want to do and be, and that should be talked through and understood.
Well, I think that many people who say that they have this ambition to go and do something won't actually put in the hard work to be that type of person.
Dude,
everyone,
so true.
No one will. They'll say, oh, I want to be an actor. And then they don't even remember their script lines that they were supposed to know for this commercial shoot the next day.
Yeah.
Or they don't put in the time to do extra practice or set aside money that they could have
auditions.
Made from their, yeah, for that or like that to put into acting school or for like better equipment for something they're doing, like whatever. But they won't actually put in the hard work.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel no sympathy for people who say that they have this ambition and then they won't put in the hard work to actually make it. Just like we talked about the rocket scientists, these people worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
They were tenacious, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of these famous actors who you see, they probably weren't very good actors when they started out too.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, unless, you know, some of them just get, you're in the right place at the wrong time, that's how LA works as well, and you know people. But a lot of them just worked really hard to be in that position.
Yeah, you know? You meet guys and they're like, hey, baby girl, what's up? And you're like, what do you do for a living? And he's like, well, I'm an actor, but secondary, I'm a bartender. And I'm like,
no,
okay, so you're a bartender and you like to act.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah. Be like, okay, so what are you doing when you're not working? Chilling at home, watching Netflix. I'm like, oh, you're not doing auditions. Oh, you know, it's not pilot season yet. I'm not doing auditions yet. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you
you're a bartender.
You are a loser.
You're a bartender.
You have chosen this life for yourself.
Yeah.
That's the funny part, is everyone's like Instagram bio or dating profile in LA is they're not that they're a bartender or waiter or whoever. It's I'm a writer, I'm an actor, I'm a model, I'm this or that, photographer. It's like, okay, you went out and took like a picture of with you know your friend's camera one weekend and put that on your Instagram, and now that makes you a photographer. It's like, okay, cool.
The amount of people in LA that have the activist in their bio, it blows my mind. I'm like, okay, so what activism do you do? They're like, I went to the BLM rally last year. Oh, so you're an activist. Yeah. Like that's your job. That's something you've chosen to put in your Instagram bio to define who you are as a person.
And I'm almost like, activist. Look at my arm.
This is activism.
My body, there's the marks.
Yeah. You ready for yours?
Yeah.
Come like, on.
You're an activist. Okay, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's just LA is such a fake place.
It is.
It's full of fake people, full of losers. Full of people who want to say
so harsh.
It's true. I mean, LA is a place where I do not like the people who live here.
Mm.
I don't. They're bad people for the most part.
Will doesn't like LA, period. Let's
no,
be clear.
I love the weather.
That's what everybody says about
yeah,
LA.
Well, because that's what's true.
I have a feeling we're going to keep ranting. We're not even going to. We're 1 minute and 30 seconds into this video.
Right, we don't need to watch the rest. Let's move on to the next thing.
Became like LA gripe session.
No, but it's good because you guys need to know. And it does speak to like a larger, more profound truth of being self-aware of who you are, what your abilities are, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. And if you are passionate about something, by no means am I telling you don't follow your passion project in whatever way, shape, or form you see fit. By all means, do it. But if you are going to do it, do the work.
Yeah.
Don't just say, don't just move to LA and then like not...
Yeah, but I think we might be focusing too much on LA. I mean, LA is like, you can have no talent and you can make it.
Yep.
Because you knew someone or because you did something dirty to someone.
Okay.
Like, that is what LA is.
Goodness,
you can know all, it's true. You can get ahead in LA.
Them's the facts.
That's got certain people. That is LA, okay? You can just know people and get in the right foot in the door and have no talent and just, you know, basically bribe people.
Okay, so what do you say to the like artistic person who's not in LA who like wants to make money off their paintings but can't, and what do they do? Should they just follow their passion and live in their mom's basement, or what do they do?
I think it's a personal choice. I mean, do the things that help you to survive in the here and now. What are the immediate things you need to live your life right now? And I'm talking food, shelter, a place to like water, the basic necessities that you need. Is your painting providing that for you? No? Get a job. Okay, and you get a job. I don't care if it's part-time while you do your painting on the side, or it's full-time and you do your painting on the weekends. That's what you got to do. What are your immediate needs? Because painting is not an immediate need. As soon as it becomes an immediate need, once you've fulfilled all of that, by all means, pursue the painting. And we live in an age of just unprecedented opportunity to become your own entrepreneur, to sell your own products. The internet is just this expansive place for small businesses now. If with all the resources and tools available to you now, you are not successful in whatever art you're doing, focus on those immediate needs.
Yeah, of course you need to feed yourself. I mean, again, I think about Nietzsche. Nietzsche was like, he was for the most part of his life very poor. He was very sick. And he wrote his writings and barely even got to publish them with everything he was doing. And he lived up in the mountains, like, alone for the most part of his life. You know, no one would categorize the life that he lived as a good life. You know, he was trying to figure out things philosophically. But then posthumous, his works have become some of the most influential works in the world.
Yep.
Because of things that he did. So I don't want to tell people that, like, just because you don't have a great life that is full of success and money and wealth and things like that, that you should stop your dreams. I think that if you will feel passionate about something and you are actually talented at it and you put in the hard work, I see no reason why you shouldn't do those things. If you are fine with sacrificing comforts for it, right? If you are fine with sacrificing those things for your art, by all means, you should do that, because that is how most of the most beautiful pieces of art and the most successful writers and all these people have made their amazing things. But if you are not willing to sacrifice those comforts and not put in the hard work, then, you know, go wait tables.
I was waiting. It was like on a constant high, and then you're like, go wait. But no, I do agree with you. I think at the very baseline, you're an individual and this is an individual choice for you. I would never, like, I don't want to make really, truly any commentary on what you should do with your life, other than the fact that you probably should have a roof over your head and have food and have water And
yeah, you have to choose the things that are important to you.
Yeah.
You know, if not having a family and living in some shack and writing your novels is, that's fine with you, then like, yeah.
I think people often, though, like, get enamored with this, like, romanticized view of their own abilities and talent or whatever. And they invest their 20s in that, and then they're, or 30s even, and then they're, like, all of a sudden old and later on in life and filled with regret that they never, like, started a family or positioned themselves and able to do that thing. So a lot of this is like being conscious of what you're sacrificing by not also, like, you can have a passion that is not the thing that you make money off of.
Yeah.
And you can position yourself for a happy, fulfilling life, find a job that doesn't make you want to shoot yourself. There's plenty of things. I've done different things in my career already. But you know, you can do that and then you pursue and develop and continue your passion on your side as much as that allows. I don't think that it's like either you sit at a 9-to-5 desk and bang your head against the wall or wait tables your entire life and hate your life, or, you know, be a monk to your own, painting thing.
Right. There's like happy mediums.
Yeah, there's ways to position yourself and expand your options. And I think a good advice for young people in general is like, what is going to add value to yourself, expand your options, and put you in a position to be able to do the things that you find fulfilling and meaningful and otherwise, you know? And so,
but it depends on your obsession with it. It depends on if you're like, oh, I'm fine with that, or I want to be the best, you know? If you want to do like passion projects on the side, you're 100% right. But if you want to be like the best, then you have to sacrifice.
Yes, but like if I want to be the best NBA player or whatever, I can spend all day, but I'm never going to be as good as Kevin Durant.
Right.
You know, so I think that's where the self-awareness comes in too. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, if I just lock myself in this closet, I'm going to be the next Van Gogh. It's like, well, no, not necessarily. It's like your level of devotion also has to be reconciled with reality. And
But I would never tell people not to try art in that sense.
I think we're getting hung up on the art thing, though. Like, I mean, I'm talking about, like,
in general.
Like, the jobs that we're talking about, I mean, these types of jobs that he's kind of getting at is, like, creative things.
Yes, but I also mean, like, the young, idealistic girl who wants to work in social justice or something and, like, that makes that her major and excludes all other possibilities. And then you get this woke degree and then you come out of school and you can't get a job that makes any money and no one wants to hire you. So you just go deeper into it and now your whole life is around this little bubble. And instead you could have, like, I don't know, been a nursing assistant or like, you know, 10 million other things that you could have also found meaningful, but you just were so dead set on this one thing that, I don't know, kind of, so.
Yeah. I mean, oh my gosh, one minute and 30 seconds of a video sparked like a 30-minute conversation.
But it ties in with the other story that we covered first.
Yes. Too, so. Yeah, yeah. It ties into everything. But yeah, guys, find your through line through the discussion that we just had and drop down your opinion below in the comments. How do you feel about people following your dreams? To what extent should they do that? How important is having, you know, a job that provides the basic necessities? What should young people do in this day and age? Now, this year is coming to a close. We're at the end of December, and Google has put out its year in search 2020, which is basically a year in review, how we cold open the show today. Let's watch this video, and I want to pause the video every time there is a woke reference or comment, and we'll see if we can make it through. This will be the last segment of our show today. Let's watch this year in search 2021. Here we go.
This year has been extremely challenging for me. I am broken. And I am healing.
I'm here at the memorial wall. I wanted to do something to remember my mom.
For some reason, I'm having anxiety. Obviously, it's normal with everything that's going on right now.
I think I'm gonna take a break for a while.
You can get through it, and if you can get through it, there's a greater reward.
Oh, there's Simone.
Just like anybody else, you know, I'm just trying to do my little part to try and save my community.
Ta-da. I'm just
make sure you guys get vaccinated.
Get your jab.
Really excited we're back open.
And I am smiling under my mask.
Incredible scenes on the day the fans came back.
Welcome back to the theater.
You guys, it's been so long.
Yourself in the mirror and you're just like
There you go, Elliot Page. Okay, moving on.
Here I am.
Be your best, never ever ever stop dreaming. I don't care what they tell you.
We the jury in the above entitled matter as to count three
find the defendant guilty.
Oh, come on now.
Where's my not guilty for Rittenhouse?
Where's the not guilty for Rittenhouse?
And has there been one white person in this video?
I think we saw a white nurse. Yes.
Yeah.
The nurse was white.
Is that
100%.
One of the ones that got fired for over a vax mandate?
Yeah.
Oh, no?
No.
She's still working, huh?
Did they show
still
any practicing? Soccer players that dropped dead in the middle of the field?
Yeah, holding their chest.
Right. Goodness gracious. So that's clearly the Derek Chauvin guilty.
I am proud to be Asian.
We are not drowning. We are fighting.
We cannot keep quiet.
What? That's not even... Those aren't even congruent. What? I'm not drowning. I'm fighting.
I you guess know, she's fighting.
Are you either doing one or the other? Who I is guess. Either drowning or fighting?
I don't know.
If I'm fighting, and then I stop. I'm not fighting.
This is nitpicking at this
I'm
point.
Drowning.
If you ain't fighting,
well, I'm saying
you're
like,
drowning.
Yeah.
What was the actual thing?
You're not
if
learning,
you ain't learning.
If your stomach ain't churning, you ain't learning.
If your stomach ain't churning, yeah. You ain't learning.
If you're not fighting, you're drowning. It's like they're not even related. Why would you
but
say
we'll
that?
All be drowning if climate change continues and if we don't Google how to help your planet.
In the next 10 years now. Oh, here, another world
we have 12
one.
Years
climate change. I'm not counting anymore. I forgot how many we've got.
No action is too small.
We just have to band together as a community and get people's
communism.
Lives back.
That military person and the nurse were just hugging because they both got fired from their jobs for not being vaccinated. That's my story.
I'm just angry, I have to say this. I have a family member who has been serving in the Marine Corps for about a dozen years and just left the Marine Corps because his religious exemption was denied.
Ridiculous.
And this is insane.
It's truly despicable. Right.
It is insane. It's like, you thank you for fighting for our religious freedoms, but you don't get to exercise yours.
Right. But we love our troops, right?
Yeah.
And we support our troops, right? Until we send them home for not being vaccinated.
Insane.
Insane. That's another one. Oh, Black Lives Matter shirt. There's another one.
That even as we hurt, we hope that even as we tire,
wait, that's
we
pause.
Try, that we'll...
That video of those girls rocking out, that was from that music video of those girls being like, we hate
racist,
white people.
Sexist boy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's another one.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's like this Asian band.
You gotta be quicker than that. It happened very, very quick.
Racist,
quick.
Sexist boy. Okay.
Forever
let's finish it up.
Tied together, victorious.
Take your mask off.
Search on.
Yeah.
Keep using our biased search engine.
I would like to know how many people in that video were wearing masks.
Yep.
How many masks there were in that video.
Yeah. Please let us know, Google. Can we search it? Will your search results show us?
Here's how many people were kept safe during that video is
right.
What it'll say.
Yep.
It's so an amazing piece of propaganda because it's like this, you can see this is the story that they want to tell. And this is how we say that the world has been in this last year. And
right.
This is what we're going to use our position of power to portray to the world and saying, yeah, this is what everyone was searching for. This is what's most important. These are the themes. And it's like, who are you to say any of this? You are not living on planet Earth.
And this is going to be archived and saved for decades and decades to come. So when people go back, if a young kid goes, you know what? A young kid in, I don't know, 2056 wants to go, I want to look back at what the year 2021 was like in America or across the world. They're going to go to Google. They're going to look at the year and search. And this is what they're going to see is the repicturing of what 2021 was.
That's when the zombie apocalypse started.
That is BS. It was BS. That's crazy.
It is crazy. It's like if they talk about how the victors write history.
Yeah.
Like, we can't let these people win.
No.
This video should be destroyed.
Yes. Should light a fire under your butts, ladies and gentlemen, to not let
and
them
burn.
Tell that this is what 2021 looked like, because it's not at all. Anyways, guys, that is Google Year in Search. Write your own. We did our little own Google jokes in our cold open. Write your own Google joke down below in the comments and let us know what you think Google should actually be putting in their Year in Search 2021.
We banned 10 million pieces of jab misinformation from
YouTube.
Right.
We aimlessly fact checked over 2 million conservatives.
We censored 22 Will Witt posts.
A new record.
Anyways, guys, thank you so much for watching. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live, 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. And I know we are pre-recording these and we are not here technically this week, but we hope you guys are having a fantastic holiday week. And if you'd like to listen to us while you're out with your families engaging in festivities, you can go to Google Play, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. And please, as our Christmas present, leave us a 5-star review and a comment underneath this video. Bye, guys.
Peace.